Well, after my presentation in the morning or during the Sunday school, some people came to me and asked, how old are you? How old are you? Are you in your 40s? I say, in my 40s? No. That's the age of my first daughter. So I am 63. And if you want to know the secret why I'm still young, you can let me know. With big fufu. Well, you want to be young? Don't stay here. Come to Africa. You'll be young. Even if you are old, you'll be transformed. Greetings again from my fellow Togolese and fellow workers, fellow missionaries from Togo to you. And my wife, we miss this very much because of Pastor Scott Girls. She asked me to say hi to you, Scott Girls. Thank you. And I praise God for the wonderful family, the Schaefer family. Thank you for hosting me almost 2 weeks now. But you will be in problem with my wife. Mama and Papa Schaefer and Kurt, you'll be in problem with my wife. Do you know why? You make my stomach big. You are going to be in problem. Anything I talk to her, she said, watch your stomach. But it's very hard. The foods are so tempting. There are too much temptation in the foods. Well, I love to eat anyway. When you die, you can no more eat. So why not eat now, so far as you are alive? Enjoy your food. I like food. Well, in Africa, don't look at your watch. Don't look at it. We are not going to close now because I will come back after 4 years. So I'm going to pour all now before we go home. If you are hungry, go back and take your coffee and come back. Let's pray. Father, we praise your name, we glorify your name this day as you continue to speak to us through your word. Thank you for this fellowship you've allowed us to have in Queen Anne Church. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for the reader. Job is one of the oldest books in the Bible, but still up to date. What we are going to look up today is the good key of good ending. The good key of good ending. Starting is good, but when you end is the most important. When you end, that's why you get the prize. You see the Olympic Games, you don't get the prize when you start the game. You have to end. And end well. In our world today, in which we are, things are confusing and very hard with families, parents, husbands, and wives. They started well. Yes, I do. And promise. And when they get children, 1, 2, 3 children, after 3, 4 years, things getting bad to worse in their lives. And the only choice is divorce. They don't end well. It's not a good ending. They started well, but they don't end well. Parents don't take good care of their parents anymore as they started. Because the first day they said your wife has a baby, you were so graceful, so joyful, announcing to people that I have a baby. But when the children are going old, getting to their teenagers, we curse our day of having a baby. We don't end well. And children, if you are to take care of your parents, they took care of us when we were babies. They took care of us when we were young. And now, we are grown-ups, our kids, our parents are old. Now it's our turn to take back our love to them. And end well. In Africa, we don't have nursing homes for older people. We don't have money for retirement. So our children are our retirement. When they were young, we took care of them. Now we became old as babies. It's their turn now to take care of us. Today we are going to end, we are going to see how Job ends his life. Did he end well? Although this book is a lot of difficulties in the life of Job, it is still continue to be edifying our families, friends. Although it's an old book because it is a book in which he made sacrifices before the Levitic people arrived. Job endures all the suffering in this book because he feared God. As an African, as you, the Americans, or wherever you come from, there is always suffering in our lives. We suffer in one way or the other as the air we breathe every day. My suffering might be different from yours. Yours might be different from other people. They are all sufferings. This morning, I would like us to see three sufferings of Job. How God has restored him, and we will conclude. The first, in Job chapter 1, verse 12 to 22, which have been read already, we have seen how Satan has attacked his riches and children. His riches are his animals, cows, oxen, donkeys, and so forth. His riches, his servants, those days they were slaves. And slaves you have to buy. And it's part of his riches. His riches, all his seven children died. Have you gone through this kind of suffering in your life like Job? Has all your bank account be seized, be robbed, whereby you don't have anything left for yourself? Have all your children died the same day? Job had seven children, like the shepherds. All died the same day. Can you bear that? The house, the cars, the money in the bank, all were gone. That's very hard as human beings. Very, very hard. Every child of God goes through some kind of testing or suffering in his life. Every second. Every child of God goes through sufferings and testing every time. We don't invite them, they just come. In all that, verse 22 saying, in all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. With all this, Job did not sin or charge God with this. If these kind of things happen to you, what did you say? What do you say to God? That's the first test or suffering of Job. The second one in chapter 2. Where he was sick. Very sick. The Bible says, a sore from his soul till his crown. All his body with sores. Very, very difficult and painful. Are you sick like him? I've seen a lot of sick people in my life. And there are still some sick people in our days today. But we don't think our sickness can be compared with that of Job. And if we are sick and we are married, our spouse are the people should be beside us to encourage us, to comfort us. Unfortunately for Job, his wife did not comfort him, did not encourage him. You lost all your riches. You lost your children. Now you are sick. The only person you have is your spouse to encourage you. Verse 9, chapter 2, verse 9, listen what his wife said. Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. Well, I can understand your wife. I don't know his name. Her name. I don't know her name. But she might, it might be strong, very hard on her. Because she bore the children in her stomach, in her belly, 9 months by 7. All died. Now all the riches were gone. Now his wife, her husband is sick. Very sick. As a woman, this is what she said. You still hold your integrity? Curse God and die. Who can curse God? Well, her suffering, understand, as a woman. And I've understood also that her faith is not the same as her husband. But Job said, you speak as one of the foolish women speak. Shall we indeed accept good from God? And shall we not accept adversity? The last word, in all this, Job did not sin with his lips. His riches, his children, now he's suffering. Now he's suffering. But he did not sin against God. In chapter 42, verse 7, this place we see how his friends who came from a long distance supposed to support him were not able to come to accomplish what they have come to do. They failed their mission. In chapter 42, verse 7, saying, And so it was after the Lord had spoken these words to Job that the Lord said to Eliphaz and the Temanite, "My wrath is aroused against you and your two friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has." It means God has testified the integrity of Job and accusing his friends because they have not supported, they have not spoken well of God before Job. So, all this with Job, all around Job, Job stood alone in his faith. No, none of these people have influenced, have given him a negative influence to change his faith in the Lord. He stand firm. His friends attacked him. As the third suffering of Job. In chapter 12, we are seeing Job, chapter 12. Here Job said, verse 2, no doubt, you are the people, and wisdom will die with you. In my local language, it means when you die, Job was saying this to his friends. When they were accusing Job and they were presenting themselves as the wisest people on earth. And Job was telling them, it means if you die, wisdom also has died. Wisdom also, if you died, wisdom is gone. No more wisdom on earth. Is that right? No. That's not true. Let us see the restoration of Job. In chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, we have seen the list of his riches, his children, and his possession. All these were gone in the same chapter. His 7 children, 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys. And the Bible says he was the richest person in the world. But when the Lord wants to restore, he did. In chapter 42, we read from verse 10, and the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Twice as much. That all his brothers and his sisters, or all those who had been his acquaintances before, came to him and ate food with him in his house. And they consoled him and comforted him for all the adversity that the Lord had brought upon him. Each one gave him a piece of silver and each a ring of gold. Now, verse 12. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job than his beginning. For he had... Now, let's come into the numbers. If you go back to chapter 1, and comparing to chapter 42, you will see that the Bible is accurate. The Bible is accurate. The Bible has no fault. The calculations were clear. In verse 4, in verse 12, he said, 14,000 sheep. In chapter 1, he has 7,000. He has doubled. Now, 6,000 camels. In chapter 1, he has 3,000 camels. 1,000 yoke of oxen. In chapter 1, he has 500. And 1,000 female donkeys. In chapter 1, he has 500 donkeys. So the numbers are accurate. God has doubled that. Not all. No, has not finished. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. All the children have come back through the same woman. The 7 children were dead. The Lord has given him, has replaced the children. Did he end well? It's a question to you. Did Job end well? Yes or no? Did he end well with this? Yeah, he did. Because the Lord has doubled. Not only that, but his friends, sisters, brothers gave him gifts. It means all that he lost in chapter 1, the Lord has doubled them in the last chapter. He hasn't finished yet. When you think you are going to die, wait upon the Lord. Wait. Well, I want to tell you, if you want to walk, you want to be in fellowship with God, you must be patient. You must be patient. If you want to walk with God, you need patience. In our marital lives, we need patience to each other. In raising children, we need patience. If you don't have patience, you cannot walk with God. So far as you are alive, there is hope. The Lord has not finished with you. People will think he has finished his job. No, he has not yet finished. The Bible says, and he called the name of his first children. In chapter 15, in all the land were found no woman so beautiful as the daughters of Job. Beautiful ladies. Has not finished. Chapter verse 16. And after this, Job lived 140 years. 140. The Lord gave him this life. Why? So that he saw his children and grandchildren for 4 generations. He saw his children, his grandchildren, till 4 generations. Not all. Job died old, full of days. He ended well. God restored his life. And doubled his possessions. Gave him life. Full of days. I don't know how he lived until 140. Seeing his children's till 4 generations. I ask just 120 years, just the only, because short people don't die quickly. Do you know that? If you are short, you will not die now. I think Job was a short man. Short people are strong people. And I will live, if I'm 63 now, it means remaining about 57 years for me to live. And I still continue to know, recognize my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren? I think, yeah. Yeah. my brothers and sisters in Quina, you need to bless yourself. If no one blesses you, bless yourself. I'm blessing myself and asking the Lord. And by his grace, if he gives me what I ask, good. If he doesn't, good. Eating well is very much important in our lives as Christians. We start, is good. End well, is best. Look, Christ, he was born in Bethlehem, ministered among his people for 3 years. He died. Did he end well? What proved that Jesus ended well? He raised from the dead. His resurrection proved his ending well. Many prophets in the world, Moses, Buddha, Muhammad, and all those prophets, they died. But none of them raised from the dead. Because Christ raised from the dead, it's a proof that he ended well. That makes the church standing firm today. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we would not have been here today. I would not have come from Africa and knowing you. If Jesus would have died and stayed in the grave without resurrection, we are hopeless. And there's nothing we can call a church. He ended well. I encourage you, as we start our Christian faith, there will be thorns on the way. There will be difficulties on the way. We must remember the resurrection of Jesus and continue and stand firm. To conclude, what proved or what gave Job the strength to stand to the end? What proved Job to stand firm? If we go back, Job chapter 28, Job 28. I will not read other passages, but I will just read verse 28. Job 28, verse 28. And to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. The secret of Job to end well is God-fearing in faithfulness. God-fearing in faithfulness. Faithfulness means whether it's raining, whether it's shining, whether it's snowing, no matter what happened, you stand firm. Like Job. Despite all that's happened to him, despite the negative influence of his wife, he stand firm. He stand firm because he feared God in faithfulness. So, God-fearing in faithfulness is Job's foundation. And with a foundation, we have to build on. What Job used to build on his conviction was his honesty in sincerity. He was sincere and honest with a strong conviction. Those are the materials he used to build on his God-fearing attitude. Job ended well. So, God-fearing in faithfulness, and we have sincerity and honesty, will help us to end well. That's like the key. So, take God off his words despite the situation and circumstances of life. take God of his word. He's always faithful. He's always faithful. When we came back from Cameroon after our mission, in 2009, we came back to Togo. We did not have any support. With Awana, every month, they just sent dollars from Streamwood, Illinois, every month to us in Cameroon. So we did not suffer at all with money. But with ABWE, the missionaries must look for their own support. And when we came to Togo, we did not have any cents for the ministry. But I said, God is faithful. What I said was, God did it before in Cameroon. He will do the same in Togo. And he did. Our God is always faithful. So let us stay faithful through the power of the Holy Spirit like Job. Not easy, but it's possible if we totally depend on God through Christ. Let's end up in 2 Timothy chapter 3, chapter 2, sorry. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 3, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Endure hardship. All Christians, all those who believe in Jesus Christ as Savior and asking him to be the Lord of their life, we are all soldiers. When there is war, soldiers don't resign. Don't resign at war as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. This world is like a battlefield for us. This world, Quina, neighborhood, or where you are, is a battlefield for you as a soldier. The war is going to be very hot. Don't quit. Don't resign. Die with your arm in your hand. That means you will end well. Let us end well. It's not going to be easy. But let's stand. Don't quit. I know those who are old members of this church, there are some people who are not here now because they quit. They quit. They ran away from the gospel because of bad influence from somebody, from somewhere. And they became worse people. They cannot even mention Christian in their lives. Who are you now? Which kind of influence are you having? Are you going to end well, like Job? Let us end well. Paul encouraged us from verse 11 to 13, saying, this is a faithful saying, for if we die with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. And if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Let the word of God encourage us as he says the word to us. May the Holy Spirit use this to encourage us, to strengthen us, so that our foundation as God-fearing people continue to be who we are till death do us apart. If you are not Christian today, this is the best day for you to know who Christ is to be in your life. You need Christ now. Dear brethren and Quina, I'm asking you, are you ending well? Are you going to end your Christian life well? Do you depend on somebody before you end your Christian life? Some people depend on people. If you depend on somebody, you will fail. Don't depend on people. Depend on Christ who died for you and saved your life, forgave your sins. Man, woman will fail you, but Christ will never fail you. If you depend on people, you will fail. You will not end well. Ending is important than the beginning. How are you walking the Christian faith? Christ is still up here waiting for you to make a commitment to the Lord. I want to end well. I have sinned. I want to come back. He's here to accept you. You can start all over so far as you are alive. Let us pray. I want you to make a commitment to the Lord this morning. If you find yourself that you are sleeping somewhere in your Christian life, you want to make a vow, you want to restart your Christian life, it's possible. You can stand up on your own feet and pray and commit yourself to the Lord now. We will wait and see if the Lord is speaking to you now to stand up and pray. After you prayed, you can sit down. The Lord will hear and he says to you whatever you tell him. Is there anybody who wants to restart his Christian life for the Lord? He can stand or she can stand and pray and recommit his life to the Lord. That, Lord, I have sinned against you. I want to start my Christian life. I failed you. I want to restart. Is there anybody? If you are not a Christian, this is a day the Lord has made for you to accept who he is in your life. He is capable to transform your life, forgive your sins, and make you a new creature. And if somebody has any special question to ask, he can talk to the deacons or the elders of the church for more explanation, or when pastor comes back from his vacation, they can talk to him. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word never changes. Your word never gets old. It's renewed its day in our lives. I pray that your name can be glorified as I speak, that in my own life, I should continue and end well as Job did. We can do nothing in our life if you don't help us, Lord. So I pray that you continue to strengthen us, continue to be faithful to you and to the local church we have here. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thank you, Joseph, for the challenge to end well and to hold on to our integrity through life and challenges. And what a good message and what a good lesson to focus on. We're going to do a communion service. The Lord's Supper is a memorial. It's an institution set and started by Jesus Christ. It's an expression of faith and obedience. In this, we proclaim God's sacrificial and substitutional death on our behalf to cover our sins and to affirm his return. And so it's a time to pause and to focus on, and what a great message to tie into our communion service, to focus on the faithfulness of God and his love through Jesus Christ for us. We practice open communion here. We don't check your Christian card at the door. We don't require. But be mindful of communion and taking it in the proper manner. That's an important piece. It doesn't save. It doesn't give you a higher ranking in the church. It doesn't, you know, increase your standing with God, right? It's about us taking a moment to pause and to reflect on what our Savior did for us. In 1 Corinthians 11, 27 through 29, it says, "For then whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the sin against the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself in this way. Let him eat the bread and drink the cup. For whoever eats and drinks without recognizing the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." So be mindful that if you're here today and you have some sin in your life, you need to get it right with God. If you have an issue with a fellow brother or sister here in the church and it hasn't been resolved, you need to get that right before you partake. And there's no judgment, there's no condemnation from us if you don't take it. So just let the elements pass you by. So I'm going to call the men forward to help me pass out the elements. And I'm going to pray. And while I'm praying, then just take a moment and pause and to set yourself right and focus your heart on God. Father God, we are thankful for your love to us. And we know that we are mindful of your body that was broken for us, and mindful of your blood that was spilled for us to cover our sins and our shame and our unrighteousness. And Father God, what an awesome thing that we are clothed in your righteousness, that we stand before you seen as perfect through Jesus Christ. And what an amazing, amazing thing. And Father God, we pause to think of the suffering that Jesus went through on the cross, that he was whipped and his back was torn and his head was pierced with the crown of thorns and his hands and his feet, and just the painful, painful death on the cross and the humiliation of suffering on the cross, Father God, in our place, and that we can pause and we can be still and we can confess our sins to you, and that we are mindful of your love to us as we partake of these elements. We ask that you bless our time. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
In Corinthians 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 24, it says, "For I have received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's take it together. In Corinthians again, First Corinthians 11:25, it says, "In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This is the cup, the new covenant, in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Let's take it together. Father God, we are thankful for your love. We are thankful for your grace and mercy to us, and that while we are sinners, you called us to you. I pray that you let us be mindful that we can end well, maintain our integrity, and be a light and salt to this world and this community of CUNA. Pray that you bless Joseph and his ministry in Africa, that you will guide and direct and continue to lead his life. And we thank you for his passion for you, and we just thank you for our time today to worship and celebrate you. In your name we pray. Amen. Frank, I think you're going to close out with a song.
We're going to end with the song Softly and Tenderly. Being I have the mic, I guess I can, I'd like to say something, you know, and sometimes I regret, afterwards I'll go, I say that for to my wife, and she says, "Well, I'm used to it." But anyhow, but certain things key kind of struck me, you know, through the service. First of all, the song "The Love of God," you know, really a solemn song. If you listen to the lyrics, you know, kind of can grab you. But the second thing, there's so many lessons to be learned from Job, and for me, it seems like I've been keyed on patience, you know, one of the fruits of the Spirit, you know, when I think of all those things listed as fruits of the Spirit, it seems like I struggle the most with patience, and maybe I'm not unique there, but anyhow, you know, we certainly see patience in the book of Job there, and then Joseph talks about God's faithfulness, you know, and that's another thing that really kind of struck me through this. You know, we sang Great is Thy Faithfulness last Sunday. It would have been certainly appropriate to sing today or any time, but those are the things that kind of made me think this morning, and hopefully I'll think long and hard about them, you know, as we go away from the church. But, you know, we grumble a lot. Maybe it's, I think as Americans, maybe we grumble more than any other, I don't know, because I've only been an American, so I can't really compare myself with other countries. But it just seems like it's just commonplace for us to grumble. When you think about every day, we grumble about the road construction, we grumble about the weather. It's either, you know, it's too hot or it's too cold. You know, we had like the whole month of April, it seemed like it was cold. And now we're heading into, you know, summer where we're going to be complaining about the, you know, the heat and, you know, and the traffic and, you know, well, there goes another subdivision going up, and it's just endless, you know. And we all complain about the government too, so I mean, I don't know if we can help ourselves, but maybe if we think a little bit how blessed we are, you know, that's, I guess that's what I'm getting to, is also as an American, I mean, we have to, you know, consider how blessed we are to just, you know, live in this country and have the freedoms that we do, like to be here and worship. So maybe others beside myself will think about some of those things as we leave today. But right now, let's sing softly and tenderly a couple of verses. Let's stand as we leave.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home.
Have a great day.